We have an interview guest here on the line. You might know him as an organizer on environmental issues, especially about the tar sands or indigenous solidarity. He helped organize the toxic tour during the G20 protest week, and he's one of only two people that were ever charged under the Public Works Protection Act, which is also known as the secret law to invoke martial law, that took place during the G20 Toronto. And joining us on the line is Dave Vasey. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Daniel?
Oh, not bad. Thanks for being on the show. And you know what? When I was doing some research on your story, I actually stumbled across there's an archive of your interview from Word of Mouth Monday, the Monday Mouth show, which took place in the summer. And Jesse Zimmerman, Jesse Zimmerman interviewed you. He's got the archive posted on YouTube. So I just wanted to ask you about, you know, maybe, I guess, since the summer, what's happened since? Regards to the G20, yeah.
In regards to the G20? Well, I mean, lots has happened since the summer, but, with the charges against me, I showed up for my court date, and when I looked at the docket, I was informed that I wasn't on it, and so spoke to the Justice of the Peace and presented the charge sheet and said, you know, I was supposed to appear, and at the time, kind of, they said, well, this is pretty highly unusual that your files would be missing. So, and of course, next couple days, the word from the Star came out that they had, in fact, lost the charges in the mail, ostensibly. And so I was kind of under, I can still be charged if they decide to recharge me, but they have apparently come out and said that they won't recharge me.
Well, so they have sent that word out that you're not going to be, you won't be recharged.
Yeah, as far as I understand.
Okay, so this charge to begin with, this was a major charge because it made a lot of headlines in the newspaper because you were the first guy charged under the Public Works Protection Act?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
And I'm actually reading right here, I got the Caught in the Act report, from the Ontario Ombudsman, and you're actually mentioned a few times here in the report. Now, on page 35 here, it says, we've got... when it mentions Mr. Vasey that you were close to the fence, but you were not near an entry point when you were stopped, have you read this ombudsman report, and did he get your story right?
I did an interview with him, and I was there with my lawyer, Howard Morton, and yeah, as far as the report goes, as far as I know, it's accurate.
Right, and I guess you were just explaining to him your story of being caught in the act, I guess. you were literally caught in the act here, which, you know, thousands of people were, and that's why there's still people out protesting on the weekend. Were you down on the weekend at the rally on Saturday?
Yeah, I marched at almost every rally in the G20. I was there for Saturday. And was rearrested there for the Novotel protest.
Oh, I see. So you were arrested twice then on the weekend, on that G20
yes,
weekend.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
So how much time in total then did you spend in these Eastern Avenue detention?
Probably about 28 hours or something all told.
Wow. Wow.
It was about 6 on the first one and then 22 on.
Right. So the first time you were arrested, that was like a Thursday night or a Wednesday
Thursday
night?
Afternoon. Yeah.
Thursday afternoon. Okay. So I guess was it like a different scene, I guess, in the Eastern Avenue in the comparison between the Thursday and the Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. On the Thursday when I was arrested, I did yoga inside of the cell, which I think they thought was kind of strange, kind of hilarious, but I mean the first time it was kind of the procedural stuff didn't really change a lot. It took a long time to process. It took me a while to understand what I was charged with, which what they initially charged me with was actually obstructing a police officer, which was a criminal charge, and I was a little concerned by that. And then My lawyer spoke with them, and then they charged me under the Public Works Act, rather, instead. And I was released without any conditions on the Thursday. So from there, I hit the streets again. I was there Friday for the Protecting Our Communities rally, and there on Saturday.
Nice. And the okay, so with this, you're charged under, when they switch your charge to being under the Public Works Protection Act, this was a big deal because the Public Works Protection Act is basically like a law from 1938 or 1939, you know, it's from World War II, and so it's very rarely used too. It was very rarely invoked, and then after you were charged, though, it sort of got out in the headlines that this law has secretly been placed in. And then they started talking about the 5-meter rule, and then reports started coming out that it never existed. I guess, like, what was your impression of this, the secret law or the 5-meter rule situation?
Well, it was obviously meant to intimidate activists. I mean, the reason why my friend and I were selected for profiling by the fence was, you know, due to we had activist propaganda. I was wearing a bag saying, you know, Homeland Security since 1492. And my friend had a sticker saying No Olympics on Stolen Native Land. And, you know, we were profiled and... you know, they were looking to arrest activists, and we had been harassed and detained at that point a couple times by the police, and so that was essentially the motive for invoking kind of those laws, was to arrest anyone who looked like an activist at the time.
Right, and that's why I'm glad that there is still, you know, there's still people out that, you know, they weren't successful in, you know, totally intimidating everyone. That, you know, there, so that you know, that's why I was encouraged that there was more, that, you know, there was more people out on Saturday than I had seen, you know, in some of the previous rallies. So, you know, the movement's still building, I think. But what I wanted to ask you about, though, just because I know you've been doing research on this and that you're also a York University graduate student. On the environment, I guess, like, what are you thinking right now on in terms of the issues about the environment? And, you know, from your perspective, what's the major, I guess, environmental issues you could highlight for everyone?
Well, right now my primary focus is on the tar sands giga project in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and for me the major issue in that is less of an environmental issue, but more of a human rights issue, and in particular an indigenous sovereignty and rights issue, where communities are not being given meaningful consultation, nor is there adequate monitoring happening of any of the tar sands effluents, which are then entering the Athabasca River, affecting communities all along the way downstream. Fort Chipewyan is the example, but, you know, Beaver Lake is another example. Fort McKay has recently spoken out. Lubicon Cree Nation has also spoken out. And so shutting down that project is kind of what I've dedicated my life to at this point.
Nice. And you called it, did you call it the Giga Project?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one.
That's a term kind of popularized by Oil Sands Truth, run by McDonald's Stainty.
Nice. How can we find information on that, the Oil Sands Truth?
Oilsandstruth.org. Okay. IEN's Tar Sands Campaign is also a great source of information. And then, I mean, there's, you know, at this point, many, many organizations working to stop the tar sands.
Right. And I guess How did you think that the event, I guess, like what happened during the G20, would you say that has slowed down the activism at all, or like how would you put in context this whole, I guess, what's happened with the G20 and, you know, in comparison with local activism?
Well, and that's kind of a complex question and answer. I mean, some of our best organizers are under house arrest, and Alex is still in jail. So that was certainly a blow to organizing in the city. But the important thing is that, you know, many folks have stepped forward to continue the advocacy work, and we've catalyzed a lot of dialogue between many of the groups organizing in the city, particularly around migrant justice, economic justice, environmental justice, indigenous sovereignty. All of those groups are in closer connection, and so on the networking thing, it was great. It was a big success, and we're seeing that at the rallies. And, you know, unfortunately, the kind of the masses went back to sleep, and the media is, you know, kind of jumped back into their role of not reporting on actions conducted in the city, but it certainly hasn't slowed any organizing. If anything, it's increased it. on December 7th, Environmental Justice Toronto, which is the group that I organized with, we shut down Bain's King for a half hour with two tripods and a banner, where we had activists perched on top of the tripods. Just last night, the anti-racist action went and confronted the English Defense League and the Jewish Defense League for promoting anti-Islamic, anti-Arab sentiments in the city. And, you know, some of the tactics of the police were apparent there. We haven't ended a G20 kind of mentality where I watched as, you know, a dozen or so riot police on horses charged the crowd.
And this happened last night?
Yeah, it happened last night. It was,
wow.
It did get some attention from the Globe and National Post, and was actually reported internationally as well.
Nice. Was it downtown?
No, it was by Lawrence West subway station.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that. That's so yeah, there is, you know, there is action going on. There is there is movements going on. That's why I'm glad to have spoken with you, and maybe hopefully we can get you on again, maybe with some other guests too in the future.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. I guess you got any last words, Dave?
No, I mean, just that, from my perspective, the G20 experience was, while it was arrested, I guess in my frame, I don't like being labeled as a civil rights or civil liberties kind of a thing. I mean, we should be looking at the daily violations that happen, and we should also be careful with how we apply the term civil liberties and civil rights. It doesn't apply to undocumented people or new immigrants waiting for status in Canada. They don't have civil liberties here. So as a movement, if we're going to stand in solidarity, we need to begin to change those rules and apply it as rights for all, regardless of status in this country. And for me, that would be more important because, you know, the profiling that happened during G20 is applied throughout Canada to racialized communities, particularly black people in the city of Toronto and Aboriginal people throughout the country.
For real, yeah. And thanks a lot, Dave Vasey, for speaking the truth today.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks. And that's Dave Vasey there from, Environmental Justice Toronto, and he was recommending to check out the site oilsandstruth.org. For information on the tar sands project, and then you can check out the Ontario Ombudsman report if you want to find some more information on Dave Vasey's story.